Everyone's hopefully going home for Pesach, and we'll have a wonderful Seder and many meals of Yom Tov at his parents' house, at his, wherever it is that he's staying. He has to know how to hakard hatov. The Chachamim instituted for us a special beracha, a special insertion into Birkat HaMazon, called Birkat HaOreach. Really, it's called Birkat Baal HaBayit, because the Oreach is blessing the Baal HaBayit. The Gemara tells us, because of this imperative, that one should be blessing his host, that when it comes to deciding who should recite the Zimun, the Gemara tells us that Oreach Mivarech, that the Oreach is one of the people who gets priority along with the Kohen and the Gadol, whoever the big person of stature is in the room. The Oreach also gets a certain level of priority when it comes to deciding who gets to say Zimun, because it used to be, as we discussed many times, that one person would recite the entire Birkat HaMazon for everybody when there was a Zimun. So if you're not going to be reciting Birkat HaMazon, you're not saying that Birkat HaOreach, and the Baal HaBayit wants his Beracha. So therefore, the Baal HaBayit has the right to designate the Oreach to recite the Zimun and Birkat HaMazon so that he'll get his Beracha. He could also forego his right if he so chooses. It's totally up to him. Nowadays, anyway, everybody says his own Birkat HaMazon. So every Oreach should be reciting Birkat HaOreach. This is true for Sephardim and for Ashkenazim. Nebuch, the Ashkenazim have a short version of Birkat HaOreach. They don't know. They don't really realize. They always hear the Sephardim doing it. They don't really realize they should do it themselves also. Every guest, whoever you are, must recite Birkat HaOreach. The Chesed Alafin, Rabbi Ezer Papo, wrote another sefer. He has a sefer called Pele Yoetz, everybody knows. But he also has a sefer on Orach Chaim and the Oredeya called Chesed Alafin. It's also a Musar sefer. He writes over there in the Halachot of Birkat HaOreach how embarrassed somebody should be. You should be humiliated if you don't know how to recite Birkat HaOreach. Because if the person did you a favor, he had you over for a meal, the very least you can do is to recite a beracha in his favor. Alachat kama v'chama, whenever somebody does us something nice, a favor, we should pray for that person, he says. Whenever somebody does something nice for you, you have to have hakarat hatov and pray for the person. And the Aliyah Rabbah says that we know et Adonai lecha tira, et l'rabot, parents, right? Et l'rabot tamnei chachamim, and all the ets are marbe something, so ve'achalta ve'savata ve'erachta et Adonai lecha et, is l'rabot baal habayit. You're mevarechta et Adonai l'hecha, but also you're mevarech the baal habayit. It's very important. So now how do you do this? The Gemara gives us a short nosach. It's not so long. And daf men vav amud aleph in masechet berachot. The Gemara gives us a nosach that all the achronim point out is not the nosach that anybody says nowadays. Neither Ashkenazim nor Sfaradim. The Ashkenazi one is shorter. The Sfaradi one is longer. Where does this come from? The Rambam tells us in Hilchot Berachot, Perek Bet, Halacha Zayin, that the Oreach is Mosif on the fourth Beracha of Hatov HaMeitiv in Birkat HaMazon. The Oreach is Mosif Birkat HaOreach, Birkat Baal HaBayit. And he has permission, says the Rambam, to make it longer and to make it shorter. So the Ashkenazim went one way and the Sfaradim went the other way. In fact, the Sfaradim Nosach actually blesses the Baal HaBayit twice, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu points out. Whereas some Ashkenazim forget to recite it altogether. Whatever it is. So one should try his best to say it. Our Nosach has numerous points to it. We're blessing his Ruchaniyut, we're blessing his Gashmiyut, Nechasav Krovim Lair, all these wonderful things. They are subject to discussion. Some say we should take out certain Lashonot, Ayin Sham. But nowadays the standard text is the standard text. That's basically what everybody does. Some, like Rabbi Yashiv, say that you should say the one in the Gemara. You shouldn't say the one in the Sidurim. Okay, everybody should do what he wants to do. That's on the length of the Beracha. On the placement of the Beracha, on the nature of the Beracha, Rav Salavechik's uncle, Rav Elvel Salavechik, the Griz, Gaon Rav Yitzchak Zev Salavechik, the Brisker Rav, had a diuk in the Rambam. The Rambam says that you're Mosif on the fourth Beracha of Birkat HaMazon. Sounds like this is actually a part of Birkat HaMazon. It's an extension of Birkat HaMazon. If that's the case, so where are you saying it? You're saying it at the end of the Harachaman. The Chol Tov was much earlier. The Olam Aleich HaSirin for the Ashkenazim was much earlier. That's why the Griz said you should always say Birkat HaOreach right after you finish HaTov HaMeitiv, before you start all the other Harachamans. Because really this one is actually right up against Birkat HaMazon, especially on Shabbat when all the Ashkenazim are makpi not to say the Harachamans. Many Ashkenazim are makpi not to say Harachamans. They have to say this one. And they have to say it right away after HaTov HaMeitiv, Rav Avadia Kotz Achida, who says that it's not an issue of asking for bakashat tzrachim on Shabbat, because it's the standard text, so don't worry about that. And overall, that's the point. The Brisker Rav was bidayek, and now that it's actually an extension of Birkat HaMazon. Finally, the point that everybody needs to know is who's called an oreach? Who's called a guest? That's probably the problem here. We live here. We live across the street. Are we orchim here? Well, how does this work? A person goes to his parents for Shabbat, for Yom Tov, whatever it is. Does he recite the Berach Aharonah? So the Magen Avraham gives us one standard klal. Remember this. It'll answer all your questions. Are you paying for this meal? If the answer is yes, so then you're the Baal HaBayit. If the answer is no, sir, then you're the oreach. So one very simple rule of thumb. Now, let's go through life. You're a son on your parents' table. Are you paying for this meal? No. So you have to say Berachat HaOreach. You're a grandson. You have to say Berachat HaOreach for your parents, and you have to say Baal Avi V'imi Baalei HaBayit Hazeh Baalei HaSudah Hazot. Don't have a chip on your shoulder like the Ashkenazim. Oh, you mentioned women. Habibi, Chacham Ben Tzion says to ask reshut from your mother when you recite the Zimun. Reshut Avi Imi. So you can also say Baalei HaBayit Avi V'imi. So when I go to my in-laws, they say Chami V'chamoti. When I met at my in-laws, Rav Benayel Dayan, people have no idea who he is. He's a prolific author. He's a Rosh Kolol in Rav Mordechai Yehoshua Zatzal's Kolol Bei Midrash Lora LeRabbanim in Yerushalayim. He has a sefer called Divrei Benayel. His nephew was at his mother's house, meaning the grandson at grandmother. There is no grandfather. What do you do? Maybe you shouldn't say Birkat HaOreach because you're going to talk about a woman. No, you say Ba'alat HaBayit Hazeh U'Ba'alat HaSeudah Hazot. You feminize it if you have to. The Ben Ish Chai says if there are numerous Ba'alei Batim, you pluralize it. Ba'alei HaBayit Hazeh Ba'alei HaSeudah Hazot. But what if you're in yeshiva? There is no Ba'al HaBayit. Rosh Yeshiva is Ba'al HaBayit. Rosh Yeshiva is not at the meal with you. The donors, the board of trustees, so they say in yeshiva, you shouldn't say Ba'alei HaBayit, just say Ba'alei HaSeudah and have the donors in mind. Chacham Ben Tzion felt it's a chiyu when you're in yeshiva to have the donors in mind and to say Birkat HaOreach. Rav Avadia thought it's not a chiyu, but you certainly should do it. The Rosh Yeshiva is not going to be makbid, but you certainly should do it. A kolol avreich also is not even paying tuition; he's getting paid to be here. Certainly, he has to recite Birkat HaOreach, and it doesn't matter where you're eating. If you take the bagel out and you go to your apartment, like I do a lot, and you eat lunch there, whatever it is, then you have to recite. For Ba'alei HaSeudah, even if you're the Ba'al HaBayit, if you're eating someone else's bread, you have to recite this Beracha for him. Certainly when one goes to a hotel, one has to recite the Beracha, because he's paying for it. He doesn't have to recite the Beracha because he's paying for it. But let's say he goes to a wedding. I'm going to give them a gift, but I'm also not paying to be here. Similar to tuition, so Rabbi Benayahu Dayan says, for you go to a wedding also, you have to recite Birkat HaOreach. These are some highlights of the points of Birkat HaOreach. Just to go to the quick Hazara, the Gemara has one text. We have different ones. Say whatever yours is, more or less. And the Brisker Rav has his point about adding on. It has to be said right afterwards. The Svaradim say it at the end, because all the Harachamans are just an extension of Birkat HaTov Ve'Ameitiv. The Chesed Alafim had a very, very strong point, a stark point, about how important it is to have Hakar HaTov. And who's called an oreach? The rule of thumb is whenever you're somewhere and you're not paying for the meal, even if you're in your house, but you didn't pay for the meal, the bread, you have to recite Birkat HaOreach. So everybody should keep this in mind as we go through Yamin Tovim, whatever it is, the different people should be able to express the proper Hakar HaTov at each step of the way. Have a great day. Right. So, first of all, who's getting the check? The Chatan Mekala. The Chatan Mekala are getting the check. The parents are paying for the wedding.
No, you're giving it to the parents.
So the parents are going to take the check? Who's going to deposit the check, though? Who's going to deposit the check? I can tell you I've been there once. You give it to the parents, but they're not going to keep it. They're going to give it to their children.
What if they're paying for the wedding with that money?
So if they're paying for the wedding, so then you're still the Oreach. In Achinami, you're right, you're paying, but it's not really an exchange. It's more just like you're trying to help in the cost of the wedding. Still, I think Rabbi Nayahu Dayan, he thinks that it's still enough to be called an oreach. You're paying for yeshiva tuition, that goes towards something, right? So there's free food here, that budget is coming out of your tuition also. But at the end of the day, it's not really you paying for this meal. So it's a good point. Either way, even if you're achayav, hakar hatov, it's always a good thing to build.
In the calf,
you don't have to recite Birkat HaOreach. You don't have to recite it in the calf, because you're paying for the meals, but on Shabbat, it's subsidized. It doesn't hurt to recite.
Your parents are paying for you to pay for the meal.
Yeah, basically.
Also,
at home. I know there's a din in general, people say you should say it out loud and the bottom line should hear.
Yeah.
If at home, like,
it's awkward in front of your father to say.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't say it out loud when I'm home, unless I'm reciting all of your katamazon out loud. Because it's a good chiluk to make. That's also yeshiva you have to pay here. Other yeshivas you don't pay. Huh?
Why do people say it out loud? Just like,
I think it's just a nice thing. I always am happy to say it out loud when I'm mizamen. But in my searching, in my researching this halacha, I haven't seen anybody say that once you're all orchim and whoever is zimim is amen, even if it's not you, you should still recite. Whoever is reciting your kind of mezzanine should still recite it. And what he says to say.
I heard definitely you shouldn't say it out loud because if you're saying all because mezzanine to yourself, definitely shouldn't say it out loud.
Really?
Think Hashem quietly and then think the Baal Abbas out loud.
Interesting. I never heard that before. Where did you hear that?
Probably before that.
Oh, okay, fine. Let me know. I couldn't find anything on this in there. It was like one little halacha. Let me know. It is distracting. That's true. That's why my wife told me if I'm going to do it, I can't mumble. I have to say it and I have to enunciate. It's a thing. But good.
You have to remind someone like the first three words of like your last
Yeah, it's a good point. To remind someone. Yeah, especially.
Like, what about this?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Your fire faith for example, for the Kafka.
Yeah. Oh, so you're using the calf part isn't even your money, you're saying?
It's
a great question. Oh, that's what you were saying? Oh. That's what you meant. Hey, Vanti. So this is a Choshen Mishpat question of when does the money become yours? Does it ever become yours?
Same question.
So it's an Ebenezer question also.
Your parents give you that was $5.
Yeah, that's the question. At what point do we say an allowance becomes your money?
I asked a rabbi.
Yeah,
what
they say.
I'm 18-year-old, my parents give me my money, and I go buy food with that money.
Yeah.
You go to Pesket Shuvah, they just say
the Kadarah. Oh, really?
What?
Okay, I gotta find that.
Pesket Shuvah.
Okay, let me know the source, yeah.
Siman 2011.
That's what I read that Siman. I read that Sif. There's only one Sif in there.
Although you're not required to have the Reif, there's proper to do so, being that you're eating with the money that he's supporting you with.
Okay, I'll go look again. Fine. I've been staring at that page for a long time. But let's say you get an allowance from your parents, and you go in your Mikadesh and Nisha with that allowance. Now what? You didn't tell them you're using the money to do it. If you told them you're using the money to do it, so that's one thing. But like, you had your parents' credit card in your pocket. And you know you're allowed to use it. I don't know. Like you bought her a ring. It's a good question, Mishpat question. I don't know. What's the minhag of parents nowadays?
Yeah.
Let's figure these things out. It's not pashut at all.